Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome, welcome to another edition of Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are heard on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and globally on the American Forces Radio Network. This next hour is presented by Geico and Rocket Mortgage. Go to rocketmortgage.com for some help with those closing costs, which is great, by the way. Those closing costs are a pain in the butt, and you can get some help at rocketmortgage.com. All right, next hour, we have Giovanna Scroggins coming on, Zaid Hussein, and Nick Douglas. We'll talk some NFL playoffs, some college football playoffs. I want to get into this NFL MVP conversation as well, because look, there's just a handful of guys who had unbelievable seasons. Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, hell, throw Joe Burrow in there as well. And there's a lot of debate on who was the most valuable player throughout the season. What does that award actually mean? Is it just a quarterback award? Is it, you know, the guy on the best team? Is it the guy who helped this team the most? There's a lot of debate there, and I want to have that conversation and start to have that conversation at least as we inch near the NFL playoffs starting, and obviously the regular season is fully wrapped up. In the world of soccer today, Newcastle takes down Arsenal 2-0 in the Carabao Cup. It's only the first leg, so the series is not over there, but a win on the road 2-0, another goal from Isak. He is playing at a different level. A goal from Anthony Gordon as well, who has been in form as of recent. A lot of people saying this is Isak's addition for Arsenal. They should go out and spend a bunch of money and bring him in. I couldn't agree more, because we saw Kai Havertz miss pretty much an open goal from within 6 yards. He's completely washed. He is not good enough, and it is why Arsenal have not won the league in now, what, 20 years. So there's that. A lot of stuff going on with Manchester United as well. We're going to talk about that more on Friday on First Touch, 5 o'clock Eastern. I have no idea why we brought in these new owners, and yet we're having conversations about pretty much selling the entire team, including Kobe Mainoo, homegrown talent, our best player in my eyes, and if we sell him, I will be dead inside. But this hour is focused on football, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to dive right into it coming up next here on Sports Overnight America with Zaid Hussein. We're bringing him in. I'm your host, Todd Levine. We'll be right back after this break. Do not move. Thought it might have been love, she don't feel it though. Why you acting like we ain't been here before? We been here before, yeah, it's such a shame.
It's such a shame, you already know it. I'm expressing all my pain, you know I'm a poet. When you sleeping through the night, I know you the coldest though. How you say heat your body?
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America, here with your host, Tyler Levine, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Happy Tuesday, folks. Man, we are just inching towards these college football playoff semifinal games, as well as the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. So much to talk about. Let's get him in here. Zaid Hussain, how are we doing, my man?
What's going on, Ty? Always a pleasure to hop on here and talk the sports world. Man, we got a lot of exciting games this weekend. I can't wait to dive into it and just run through it.
We do, and I wanted to shift the convo a little bit away from the playoffs real quick and just kind of wrap up what we saw throughout this NFL season, because it was one to remember. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion going on about who should be the regular season MVP. And, to be honest, and I feel like this conversation comes up every year in every sport, there's a lot of debate on what that actually means to be the MVP. Is it the best statistical player? Is it the guy on the best team who, you know, had the best record? Is it the guy who ultimately meant the most to his individual franchise? And there's a lot of speculation around who's going to be the NFL MVP this season. The odds right now per DraftKings, Josh Allen is a minus 450 favorite, Lamar Jackson plus 320, Saquon plus 8,000, Joe Burrow plus 10,000, and we'll cut the list there. Just to run through some stats real quick, and then I want to hear your opinion on who the MVP actually is. We got Josh Allen, 3,700 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, second in QBR with 77.2. Lamar Jackson, 4,172 yards, 41 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, led the league in QBR, 77.5. Saquon, 345 carries, 2,005 yards, 13 touchdowns, 5.8 per carry. Joe Burrow, 4,900 passing yards, 43 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 75 QBR. Now, with all that being said, where are you going with this MVP conversation before I give you my opinion?
Yeah, for me, when I look at MVP, I look at someone that's doing the most with the least. So you got to look at guys like a Josh Allen, who is the rightful, I think, MVP favorite. This is a guy who, at the beginning of the season, we couldn't even name two wide receivers for the Buffalo Bills. After losing Stephon Diggs and losing a bunch of his weapons, he was a guy that really we didn't know how the passing game was going to look. And he showed, after an early slight struggle, that he's dominant and he is one of the best players in the world by winning with the least. So when I look at that, I look at putting him ahead of a guy like Lamar Jackson because of the weapons that Lamar has at his disposal. While Lamar has been perfect, I think he had his best year yet, I think Lamar has a lot of dangerous weapons around him. And it's leading to, people worried about Derrick Henry, worried about Zay Flowers, worried about the tight ends. He has a lot of weapons. But Josh Allen, you look at it, I mean, he has Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman. These are wide receivers that nobody really knew about just a short time ago. So I think Josh Allen is the guy that you look at for MVP. And going forward, I think MVP is always, to me, a guy that does the most with the least.
I like that take, and I am on board with, I think that it has to be Josh Allen this season just because of what he's doing with what he has. Now, I can make a case, however, and this is where, you know, the conversation comes in. In my eyes, at the end of the season, who I thought was playing the best football was Joe Burrow. And I think that when you look at, you know, what he did this season in Cincinnati, and, you know, the fact that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase won the Triple Crown. Most receptions, most yards, most touchdowns. Burrow leads the league in passing yards and touchdowns. He has 9 interceptions, you know, but it's going to happen. You know what I mean? And third in QBR, he almost brings the Bengals somehow into the playoffs. For me, he played the best ball, you know, come the final stretch of the season. Then you got to look at Lamar as well, though, because he came into this league, people were saying that he should be a wide receiver. You know, he's just as a running quarterback. He finishes 6th in passing yards, 2nd in touchdowns, and only has 4 interceptions throughout the entire season. But, you know, what you said is correct. You look at Lamar, he has Zay Flowers, they have Bateman, they have Andrews and Likely. But more importantly, they add Derrick Henry this season, which ultimately it opens up a lot for the passing game when you have him in that backfield. Teams have to put a spy on him. They have to watch that. That is what they're afraid of. And Lamar took full advantage of that. Now, you know, with that being said, it doesn't really matter who wins MVP ultimately. All that matters is who's going to the Super Bowl and who's winning the Super Bowl. We spoke about it in depth yesterday. You know, is there outside of, you know, let's just focus on the Chiefs, I guess. Are the Chiefs a lock to get to the AFC Championship game for you?
You know, for me, I think so, man. I think they've shown, look, Mahomes and Andy Reid are two guys that have shown that they know how to win close games. And the way that they manage these games, and it comes down to the last minute where they drain that clock, there's times where you see the Chiefs, you know, up 2 or up 3 or even down 1 or down 2 with 5-6 minutes left, and they just kill that whole clock to end the game. We've seen it time and time again, and that's why they have the most one-possession wins in the season, is because they know how to win correctly. And I think when you look at who they're going to be playing, it's looking like probably the Houston Texans, if I had to guess. I don't see how they don't win and walk to the AFC Championship. And I think once they get to the AFC Championship, you're going to need a special performance out of Patrick Mahomes to make it to the Super Bowl, because this is a Chiefs team that is, I think, overrated right now. I think people are overrating how good they are. You know, so many close games they could have lost. I think the only reason that they've been this good and had such a dominant record is because of Mahomes, obviously. I think the players around him are not as great as they've been in the past, and I think the defense, while it's looked dominant early in the season, has been struggling as of late. So I would be worried coming in, but the thing that benefits them so much, Ty, is the fact that they have this extra time to rest. They've had now 2 weeks off. You take the week off where they've rested literally everybody against Denver, and now you add in an additional bye week, and you give Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and all these guys 2 weeks to game plan for the potential next opponent. I think it's absolutely huge, and I think they win because of it.
Now let's talk about the other number one seed, the Lions. Are they a lock for you to get into the NFC Championship game? And if so, which are you more confident in, the Chiefs or the Lions, to make it to the Super Bowl?
For me, I think it has to be the Chiefs. But and when you look at the playoff picture, like with the Lions, it's just, it was very important for them to win that game, don't get me wrong, but now when you look at who they're going to have to play, I just think it's tough games all around, man. Like, none of these teams are easy outs, especially on our side. Like, for me, I rate the Commanders better, I rate the Vikings better, I rate the Rams better, I rate the Packers better, I rate all those teams better than a team like the Texans. I truly believe that they're just better. I think the NFC side, the middle of the pack playoff teams, seeds 7 through 4, are just way better than the middle of the pack teams on the AFC side. I think the AFC is very top heavy. You have 3 teams to me. It's the Bills, it's the Ravens, it's the Chiefs. Everyone else, I feel like they'll be able to separate themselves. But when you look on the NFC side, you have the Rams, you have the Vikings, you have the Commanders. All these teams can win at any given day. Even the Packers. I mean, all these teams are showing flashes of greatness. So I think the Lions might struggle to make it to the championship game more as opposed to the Chiefs.
Who's more likely for you to dethrone the Chiefs, the Bills or the Ravens?
I think it has to be the Ravens. I think while the Bills won early in the season, man, it has to be the Ravens. I think with the Ravens, the thing is, like, when they played football offensively the correct way at their best, they beat everybody. I think the misdirection that they have guys running in motion. You have Zay Flowers running in motion. The misdirection that they use, you have the quarterback option. You could give it to Henry. You could run to the left. Like, there's so many different ways that they beat you. And once they get you guessing, the game is over. It's truly over. If you can't decide they're running or passing and they're just marching that ball down the field, Lamar's going to eat you alive. And I think they have the ability to do that way better than the Bills. I think the Bills, you need Josh Allen to be special. That's the only way you win. He has to be special. But with the Ravens, you have so many different weapons surrounding Lamar Jackson that it's pick your poison. If you're going to sell out to stop Derrick Henry in the run, guess what? Lamar's going to pull that ball out. He's going to throw it down the field. If you're going to sell out to stop Lamar, guess what? He might beat you with his feet. You know, there's so many different ways that they could beat you. You have to play perfect defense against this team. The only way I see the Ravens losing is them beating themselves. And we've seen it in the past with penalties, with turnovers, fumbling the ball, everything on that end. But if it comes to the playoffs and the Ravens are able to control the turnovers, control the penalties, I think they beat everybody.
I have to agree, and I think that the fact that the Ravens have played in Arrowhead this season, and let's not forget, if Isaiah Likely wore one shoe size smaller, they win that game, and it changes the entire complexion of the season, for me, in my eyes at least. Zayd, thank you as always for coming on. It's an absolute pleasure to speak with you as always. We'll chat with you soon, buddy.
Take care, brother.
Absolutely. All right, guys, up next, we're bringing in Nick Douglas. It is time to chat some college football playoff. I'm your host, Todd Levine. We will be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America, here with your host, Todd Levine. We are presented by Geico and Rocket Mortgage. Go to rocketmortgage.com for some help with those closing costs. It is semifinal week in college football. The stage is set. We have two unbelievable games, and who better to speak about it with than Nick Douglas? My friend, how are we doing?
Tyler Levine, I'm doing okay, man. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Glad that you're safe after everything that went down in New Orleans. Pretty crazy game to be at. Notre Dame took down Georgia 23-10. Let's start there. It's the game that's on Thursday. I will be there live 7:30 p.m. at the Hard Rock Capital One Orange Bowl as number 6 seed Penn State squares up against 7 seed Notre Dame. Although I put absolutely no value in that seeding, as we've seen this whole playoff kind of, you know, come about. It's very clear that the seeding is very off, and they have to do something about these byes. But that's neither here nor there. The important part is this game. Nick, how are you looking at this contest? Right now, Notre Dame is a 1.5-point favorite. They were a 2.5-point favorite yesterday when we spoke about it. So the line is moving in Penn State's favor. Not sure if that's where you're leaning as well, but let's hear it.
Yeah, so to be honest with you, Tyler, I really like Notre Dame in this one. And covering them, you can just sense the heart and the passion from not only the players, but, you know, fans and media members alike. You know, this is two very different tales from Notre Dame and Georgia. Let's be clear here. UGA kept having to live up to expectations, it seemed like. You know, they were always ranked high. They were always the heavy favorite coming into games all year. And they were always seen as the team that could be trusted and as the next Alabama, and Kirby's leading the next dynasty and everything else. Whereas Notre Dame has been focused on proving these allegations wrong, that they are illegitimate, they don't play anybody, they should not be taken seriously. So, you know, seeing the stark contrast in person was fascinating, because everybody wanted to talk about how good Georgia really is, irrespective of record, and how bad Notre Dame really is, irrespective of record. And I mean, it manifests itself in a dominant showing from defense from both sides, but I think it was special teams. I mean, coming out of the half and returning a kick to the house, I don't think you can recover from that. And I mean, Gunnar Stockton and Georgia just had no answer.
Yeah, that's one of those things. It's such a huge momentum swing. And when you're not dealing with your A team, then, you know, I'm not going to take any credit away from Notre Dame, because Stockton did go in and take down Texas in the SEC championship game. So, you know, he had some experience under his belt. He's a fine quarterback in my eyes. I know a lot of people love Carson Beck. I'm not one of those people. I don't think it would have mattered. I think Notre Dame just had their number, regardless of who is playing at quarterback. Let's look at the other side. You know, I spoke about this yesterday. Penn State beat SMU 38-10, and then Boise State 31-14. A lot of people are saying that they have gotten rid of this stigma that, you know, and Franklin has gotten rid of the stigma that they can't win the big one. For me, I don't know how big of a game SMU and Boise State is. Penn State is just significantly bigger of a program. They recruit completely different level players. Bar Aston Genty, who is, for me, was the player of the season, would have been my Heisman vote. You know, is it a big moment? Yes. It's a college football game. It's a game to get to the semifinal. It's the first round of the inaugural playoff. I mean, they're playing them at home. I don't know how big of a game that is. This is a big game, though. This is a big game against a big program who recruits the same level talent. And, you know, for me, this is the moment for Franklin to say, okay, I can win the big one. I know you're leaning towards Notre Dame. What can Penn State do, though, to ultimately finally get it done? And do you agree with me as well, before we hear your analysis on what they can do, do you agree that they haven't won a big one yet, that these are big moments but not big games?
Tyler, you're absolutely right when it comes to Penn State winning big moments, or the lack thereof when it comes to wins. I mean, the two games, SMU in Happy Valley and Boise State, I mean, if Penn State had lost, it would have been, I think it's more of a blemish if they lose than it is a badge of honor if they win. I mean, these are teams that they should beat. You're right, this is a storied program. We're talking about Penn State. I mean, this is a program that for decades and decades has just They've lit up the scoreboards. They've created one of the most intimidating environments in college football. Over 100,000 packed out Beaver Stadium. I mean, they should win all these games. Now we're looking at a situation, and much of the Big Ten as well, they should beat. They don't go 12-0 every year. They're a perennial 10-2 powerhouse, which I think is a bit it's a bit oxymoronic to say that, because perennial powerhouse if you're consistently 10-2 in, you know, a half decent conference. But I think with this one, all of a sudden, it's not expected that Penn State wins, and they're not seen as the best team. And, you know, I mean, look, Riley Leonard passed for 90 yards against Georgia. Okay, that's not that much, which means the answer lies in neutralizing the special teams and making sure that Notre Dame can't get past midfield. I mean, that kicker, good Lord, I don't know if kickers get NIL checks at Notre Dame, but if he did, he earned it. Because this guy was a monster in New Orleans on January 2nd. So,
which is surprising because they struggled with the kicking game all season.
They really have, and that's another important thing to note. But having said that, I mean, if they can just put a tamper on the run and really slow things down for Notre Dame there, I think you've got a Penn State team that can compete in this game for sure. But I really like Notre Dame just because they just – ever since week two, you know, you want to drop a week two game and then just respond all year. And I mean, to their credit, you know, easy schedule aside, you look at the scores, they really have responded all year. And I mean, last week was their statement victory, no question.
Let's shift over to the other game, Texas, Ohio State. I mean, anybody with eyeballs can see, and I think everybody agrees, Ohio State looks unbeatable right now. They put up 42 against Tennessee, where everybody across the board, I think it's safe to say, if there was one first-round game where we thought there could be an upset, everyone agreed that if it had to be anyone, it was going to be Ohio State. Tennessee traveled well. There was all the reports about all the tickets being sold. They put that to rest in about, I don't know, what, 8 minutes of the first quarter of that game. They went 42-17 against Tennessee. They then go up against an Oregon team that's played pretty good defense all season long, undefeated, number one in the country. Oregon beat Ohio State earlier in the season. And same thing at the end of the first quarter, at the end of the first half, this game was all but finished. They hang up 41 against Oregon. They beat them 41-21. They now go up against a Texas team that just snuck by Arizona State. And, you know, due to a questionable targeting call, they might have been lucky to even do that. Does Ohio State even stand a chance? Do they stand a chance to cover even the +5.5 that they're getting in this game? Or is the world going to be shocked and we're going to see Texas either keep this really close or potentially beat Ohio State?
Well, I think this is definitely the, ironically enough, Tyler, like, I see Texas +5.5. I think that this is going to be the closer game. I mean, in effect, this will be a home game. The game is in Dallas. So you're going to have an obvious home field advantage. I don't care who you're playing. If the University of Texas is playing in the state of Texas, there's going to be a home field advantage, and there's no refuting that. Having said that, Ohio State looks like the better product on the field. They seem to have more momentum than anyone. And right now, I mean, if this season shows anything, and if the new era as a whole shows anything, you know, college football has really become a game of momentum. And, I mean, Will Howard looked like he was red hot. The running game was awesome. Quinshon Judkins had an amazing day at the Rose Bowl. Ole Miss transfer, he's been awesome for them all year. And then, of course, Trayvon Henderson just pounded the rock. 8 rushes for 94 yards and 2 scores, along with, I don't know if there's anyone in the country that can cover Jeremiah Smith. He looks incredible. So I understand why Ohio State's favored, but I don't think you can discount Texas, irrespective of how good, you know, how good is Arizona State and, you know, how dominant is Texas and can Sark win the big games and everything else. I mean, this is going to be a home game for Texas. Having said that, Ohio State, if there's any one of these teams that could beat Texas in Dallas, it would be this Ohio State team. And I mean, Vegas shows that Ohio State's the favorite to win right now because they just look so dominant. So that will be one to follow, but I mean, this secondary and this front seven better be ready because Ohio State is going to rip it through the air. They're going to shred it on the ground. And I don't know if Texas can handle it. I'll be honest with you.
Is it as simple as stopping Jeremiah Smith? If they can limit him to, let's say, and I don't even know if this is possible, a sub-100-yard day, does that mean Texas wins this game? Is it that simple for them? Stop Smith, handle the run as much as you can, and, you know, put a couple points up, and, you know, you'll be good here? Or is it just a whole different animal, and even just limiting Smith is going to, you know, be difficult for them to win this game?
Yeah, I don't think it's just as straightforward as neutralizing one player. I mean, they've shown that they can have a ground attack. I mean, Travion Henderson and Quinshon set probably every SEC freshman record in his first year at Ole Miss. I mean, I saw him play all year long. He was awesome both seasons at Ole Miss. He's been great all year. And him and Travion Henderson, I mean, Travion averages 7.5 yards a carry. Sorry, 7.3. So I think if you neutralize Jeremiah Smith, they're just going to turn to the ground. I mean, this is the Ohio State. They are going to have a force of weapons on offense. So they've definitely got an arsenal. Will Howard's clicking at the right time. So I don't think it's that simple. Having said that, if you can neutralize Jeremiah Smith, then you've got a chance. So it really just depends on, you know, who's going to come out and set the tone early. But at the same time, you know, Texas was up four scores actually on Arizona State, and they came right back. So I mean, I think that's anyone's game, but I'm going to lean on Ohio State just because they looked too dominant last week.
Real quick, do you think it would be advantageous for Texas to include Arch Manning in the game plans? I need like 10-second take. Yes or no? Is Arch Manning going to feature at all in this game?
Yes, absolutely. They need to do everything.
I love it. All right, Nick Douglas, thank you so much for joining us. It is a pleasure as always. I'll actually be at that game on the 9th. I'll be texting you throughout it. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, Ty. Have fun at the Orange Bowl.
Thank you, my friend. All right, up next, Giovanna Scroggins. We're getting her in here. We're going to hear her take on these NFL playoffs as well. I'm your host, Ty Levine. We'll be right back.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about, Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Let's get her in here. As always, an absolute pleasure. Giovanna Scroggins, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. There's some news going on in the NFL today. Before we dive back into the playoff picture, MVP conversation, I want to get your take on the Tyreek Hill situation. For those who aren't aware, post-game interview, he pretty much said, I want out of Miami. You know, I'm not here to just be here. I want to win. You know, I'm a star, blah, blah, blah. Giovanna, what's your take on Tyreek Hill in that situation?
I mean, if he stayed where he was at, he would be happy. You know, he would have a couple of Super Bowl rings behind him. But, hey, I mean, I don't blame him because I know he's a talented receiver. And I honestly, talking to some of my other friends in the industry, Tyreek Hill wasn't really that much, you know, in the wide receiver talk this year, the top wide receiver talks this year. And I think that has a lot to do with just his team. Doesn't mean the Dolphins are a bad team, but obviously, you know, there's injury problems with Tua. And quite frankly, I think Tua needs to take a hard look in the mirror and see if he actually still wants to play football, just given his history with injuries. But, you know, I don't blame Tyreek for wanting to try to get on another team. However, I don't think he should have, you know, publicized that on post-game interview and just like, I'm out, bruh, and that's it.
Here's my problem with it. You were in Kansas City. You won a Super Bowl. And then you left to get paid. They didn't want to lose you. They weren't trying to get rid of you. What happened? You said, I want to make more money. You wanted to live in Miami and be in the nice weather, get out of the snow, and get paid. And that's what you got. You gave up winning Super Bowls. You gave up being the guy. Voluntarily. That was your choice. So now why are you complaining about it? For me, that's it. That's the end of the conversation. And to blast your team like that in that unprofessional way. Look, I get it. Wide receivers have ego. I think it's necessary for the top guys to have ego in any sport. It's essential, to be honest, to reach a certain level in anything. You need to have some level of I'm the guy and I deserve to be here. I get that. But then why did you leave Kansas City? Because, that, you know, I'm not going to say they wouldn't love to have him right now and they couldn't use, you know, his presence. Because for me, hands down, on his day, he's in the conversation for top three, if not top one or two wide receivers in the league. He's definitely top three for me on his day when he's playing at his best and his quarterback is healthy. But at the end of the day, Kansas City is now, you know, going for a three-peat, and they didn't need him to do that. And I think he's seeing that and then also seeing his situation and thinking to himself, well, damn, this kind of sucks. And, you know, for me, I don't really know where the Dolphins go from here. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. In your eyes, what do the Dolphins do? It's just you got to get rid of him at this point, right, and rebuild essentially because you have a quarterback who seems to have a life-threatening concussion every year. Waddle, who is always injured, A-Chain, who's injury-prone, and now Tyreek Hill wants out. So is this just rebuild time for the Dolphins?
Yeah, for 100%. The last thing you want on your team is a player that simply does not want to play. I think it's honestly a slap in the face for the organization, and honestly, it sends the wrong message to all the other guys on that roster that, you know, go out and essentially risk their lives just to play a football game every single day, and then you have a person on the roster who doesn't want to be there anymore. I mean, we saw the same situation happen in the league also this year. So, yeah, the Dolphins... he definitely needs to go. I don't think it's going to be good morale if Tyreek stays in Miami. But, you know, maybe it is his time. Obviously, you know, you got pulled over earlier this season before heading to the stadium. So
yeah, that was crazy.
Maybe it's a little bit deeper.
It could be. Let's just kind of stick on this trend of disappointing situations. You know, we obviously spoke the playoff picture yesterday. I want to just kind of, you know, wrap up the NFL season. We can do some more playoff talk as well, but In your eyes, you know, obviously there's a lot of teams this season. I think it's pretty easy to say that, you know, the Vikings and the Commanders are really those two teams that, you know, shocked us and overperformed. You can throw the Broncos and the Chargers in there as well as, you know, surprise teams who we were pleasantly surprised by. On the flip side of that, for you, who is the most disappointing team? When the season ends, you look back and you say, wow, you know, I had higher expectations for them, or, you know, they really just disappointed or didn't play up to the level that they can, or I can't, you know, they're not in the playoffs, whatever it might be. Who stuck out for you as the most disappointing?
I mean, obviously, just being a Cowboys fan, I got to mention the Cowboys, definitely most disappointing. But outside of that, the New York Jets. I mean, you have a talented roster. You go get Adams this year. You have Aaron Rodgers, but you still couldn't get it done. And what is quite frankly a pretty easy division in the AFC East. And you finish the season as bad as y'all did. So that's probably the most disappointing franchise given the talent they have on that roster for me.
I can't help but agree, and I don't know if you've been seeing these reports about Woody Johnson, and, you know, he denied a trade for Jerry Jeudy, who just had a fantastic year, because his son said that his Madden rating was too low. And you also see reports of, you know, his sons being in meetings with them, and, you know, they decided to give a game ball to, I forget who it was, you know, one player versus another, and it just completely, like, killed the vibe in a room after a big win. I mean, Woody Johnson's got to sell that team, no, if they want any success. We, you know, we see it with the McCaskey family in Chicago, who, for me, if I'm going to add this in, you know, I'll actually go into this after, you know, your take on Woody Johnson and the Jets. Is it sell the team or suffer forever, like we see with so many teams, you know, in many different sports, not just the NFL?
I mean, the thing is, these owners in the situation, it's hard for them to let go. And it's something I was actually listening to today on Stephen A. said that, you know, when you look at Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, he believes that, you know, Jerry Jones is never going to sell a team or step down that position because he feels like if he doesn't do that job anymore, he's quite frankly going to drop dead. So it's an interesting situation, you know, some of these older guys that, you know, have this team, it's a piece of them. So it's going to be a really, really, really hard time for them to let that go, even if it's for the betterment of the franchise in the long run.
I understand. It is a difficult situation. I'm going to lean into this one. For me, the most disappointing team by far is the Chicago Bears. And reason being, they got their guy. They got Caleb Williams. They then decide to take Roman Duzé in the first round as well, rather than bolstering the offensive line. This goes as far back as the offseason for me. They keep Eberflus. They could have had Harbaugh. No doubt. He played for the Bears. Loves the franchise. And would have went there from what the reports say, and I think from common sense as well. You look at the Chargers, who were also in that lottery round pick. I think they had the sixth pick. They took Joe Alt. He gets the Chargers to the playoffs, 11-6. And looking good, by the way. I actually think that the Chargers have a very good chance to beat the Texans. I think they will beat the Texans. And I'm not calling them a long shot by any means against the Chiefs. So when you factor that in, you kept Eberflus, you fired him. They went through, what, two offensive coordinators as well. Caleb Williams kind of looked like a mess all season long. He had moments for sure. They finished dead last in the division, 5 wins, 5-12. They signed Swift this offseason. They signed Keenan Allen this offseason. You know, they don't have a terrible defense by any means. And here they are. They finished the season on a -60-point differential with 5 wins and 12 losses. I don't think there's a Bears fan out there that could have expected it to be this bad. And I'm a neutral fan who was in that boat as well. The Bears, for me, are the most disappointing. Let's get your take. I got Zade's take on the MVP conversation earlier. We went through the odds. Josh Allen, the odds-on favorite to win MVP. For you, who is the best player this season, given the situation that they were in, their level of play week in and week out? You know, the favorites in order, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon, and Joe Burrow. Who for you is the MVP?
Yeah, I'm always going to rock with Saquon. I love the running back story. I think it's time for running back to win the MVP conversation. Outside of that, I think Saquon single-handedly saved the Eagles head coach's job this season in terms of, you know, them winning games. And also, I mean, he may have really, really helped this Eagles offense go into the playoffs. And so just because of that and not as a quarterback when they, you know, those types of kind of accolades and, you know, I guess, respect in terms of a player typically comes with a quarterback, and to see a running back do that, in my opinion, you got to give him his props, and I think he should win MVP.
I mean, it's being that he's not winning MVP this year, and had, you know, if he played in the final game, you know, he would have broken the record, just gone for it.
Oh,
I know
for
he
sure.
didn't break the record. You know, does this pretty much mean is what this is telling us is that a running back can and never will MVP? You know, you have to shatter the running back record to even stand a chance. Or for you, was it Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson just played at like a completely different level this year, and it would be a disjustice to not give one of them this award?
I mean, two things can be true, and I think it's honestly a little bit of both. I think for running backs, it is hard to get in that conversation. I think you have to do a lot in order to even be mentioned, have your name mentioned in the MVP race when it comes to the NFL. And we see that all the time. I mean, honestly, look at the Heisman race too, you know. But yeah, I mean, not going to discredit Josh or Lamar because I think they have had incredible seasons thus far. And this season has been amazing too. But yeah, I think it sends a message to running backs that, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z. And that X, Y, and Z has to be amazing and record breaking for you, your name to be mentioned in that conversation.
We haven't talked about this yet, and I want to. 2025 NFL draft order. We got the Tennessee Titans get the number one pick. Cleveland at 2, Giants at 3, New England at 4, Jacksonville, Vegas, Jets, Carolina. We'll cut it there. Also, crazy, crazy thought here. If the Bengals beat the Patriots in week one, the Patriots have the number one pick and the Bengals are in the playoffs. How crazy is that? That a week one game determined the fate of two franchises and having the number one pick or making the playoffs. And if the Bengals made the playoffs, I'm telling you now, they would have been a very dangerous team that no one wanted to play. But with that, you know, put that aside. How do you see things shaking out? Do you see, obviously, I think it's pretty known that Tennessee is taking a quarterback at one. They're out on Will Levis. He's not a guy. He never will be a guy. Just calling it for what it is. He's god-awful. Who is going to be the first quarterback off the board in your eyes?
Just because of the hype and obviously, you know, Travis Hunter, I really do think Shadur is going to be the first quarterback off the board. Do I think Shadur is a little bit overhyped? Yes. I think he's a phenomenal player, but I think if you take away the prestige of Deion Sanders and Colorado football and all that kind of stuff, you know, I mean, he is just a guy, but I think that plays a huge factor into why he is so high.
Do you think that Tennessee is going to take Shadur with the number one pick, or do you think they're going Travis Hunter?
Believe it or not, I think Tennessee might take Cam Ward. I think Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward, and I think Shadur is going to fall to the Giants.
And you don't obviously, there's been a lot of reports about this already. Deion won't let him go to Cleveland. No, that's kind of what's been said.
Yeah, but to me, that's like, your son's made it, and that's a lot more than a lot of people can say. And to sit here and say, oh, I don't want my, you know, going to a certain team, da-da-da-da-da, I understand, but at the end of the day, you know, that's just how NFL is, and that's how the draft, and, you know, congratulations, you got drafted as, you know, a top three pick. So that's, at the end of the day, that's what you should be proud of, and not kind of nitpicking what team and what team you don't want him
Listen,
to go to.
Listen, I agree, but we've seen it before. We saw it with Elway, we saw it with Eli Manning. You know, Eli didn't want to go play for the Chargers, and he said he wouldn't do it, and then, you know, they make a trade, Phillip Rivers goes to the Chargers, Eli goes to the Giants, so let's see. I wouldn't be surprised to see Shadur drafted by the Giants. I'm really not sure how I feel about it, but that's a conversation for another day. Giovanna Scroggins, thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Tuesday.
Awesome. Bye, Tyler.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, up next, two-minute drill here on Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Don't move. We will be right back.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. 2 minute drill. Here we go. You know, this conversation of the NFL draft is, as a Giants fan, has me thinking. I am not sure how I feel about Shedeur Sanders. I'm not. Cam Ward, I'm in on. I'll take that all day, twice on Sunday, and would be very happy with it. Listen, do I think Shedeur has potential? Of course. Do I love Deion? Yes. I love Deion Sanders. I think he's a great person to have around any organization. He is a bona fide winner. He has good energy. But listen, Shedeur was, you know, suspect a lot of times throughout this college football season. And, you know, I worry about a lot of the other distractions that he has going on, and the noise that that brings. And I'm not so sure that's the best thing for the Giants. But ultimately, we have to take a quarterback. I'll take anyone at this point. Anyone that is not Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito, or Daniel Jones, who obviously is no longer part of the franchise as a whole, you know, I'll take it. I just can't see us fumble another top 10 pick. It would be so painful. Thank God we didn't fumble last season, obviously, with Neighbors, unbelievable rookie campaign. But, you know, look, I think Shedeur is better than nothing, and I will take it. I'm very curious to see what Tennessee does, though. You know, Travis Hunter, obviously, two-way player, Heisman winner. But same thing. I mean, these top three teams need quarterbacks, all three of them. It's just a matter of, are all three going to take quarterbacks? Is it possible that New England trades up to get Travis Hunter? I don't know, because they already have their quarterback. Drake May, they have him. They'll keep him. And, you know, they're good to go at the QB situation. I'm curious to see if they make a move up to snag Travis Hunter, because I don't think any of these top three teams are taking Hunter. I would be surprised if they did, although he's a great player. All right, guys, we will see you tomorrow. Thank you so much again for tuning to another edition of Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. I will be back with you tomorrow with Marty Terrell on air. And as always, we'll be with you guys Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern, for another edition of First Touch. A ton of stuff happening in the soccer world. You're not going to want to miss Friday's show here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Thank you guys so much again, as always. Adios. See you tomorrow.